Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show, and we have a lot of moving parts this afternoon. I should mention, I want to play a little audio here from Darren Pang on this morning talking about the Jay Bouwmeester situation. Frightening. I think they did the right thing by, you know, calling that game off because everyone is so shaken up. But we're hearing good things about his condition this afternoon, and Doug Armstrong is going to hold a news conference and answer some questions in 25 minutes, and we're going to bring that to you live on KMOX. But I want to play what Darren Pang said because we can have some lighter moments with this after what it looked like last night.
Last night, when I found out that the players FaceTimed Jay in the hospital, he had a couple of funny comments. One of them was, I got 41 texts on my phone. I never get this many texts on my phone. So that was a funny thing from Jay. And I sent him a text after that, just seeing how he was doing, and he responded right away. So that is really good news. It put a lot of people, obviously, put everybody at ease to know that that he was in good hands and that he was doing well. Now it's a matter of figuring out what exactly did happen last night.
So I've never been on the air when something like that has happened and you have to cover it. I mean, that was a very unique situation. Darren Pang said very much so.
I felt like it went on for several minutes, but I don't think it was that long. I think everybody acted so quickly and under such control. But it was as tough a moment as I've ever had, obviously. I mean, you just don't plan for this. You don't know exactly what you should say or what details you should give because you've got family members that are watching and you know that this is a very important time and you've got to say the right things at that moment. So a tough time for sure.
Wow. So hopefully good news. That was Darren on with Amy and Charlie this morning. And again, Doug Armstrong with some answers and an update on the condition of defenseman Jay Bouwmeester coming up here at 3:30 on KMOX. Look who has wandered into my studio this afternoon, my good friend Rex Singfield, who I'm certain has brought me a large check. I was asked for a large check. Did you bring me a large check this afternoon? Is that
absolutely
why you're here?
I got a whole stack of $15 bills for you.
All I want is like 100, 150 grand too. I'm not asking for like the $1 million shooter. One of these days, it's going to come around. No, we're going to talk about chess, aren't we?
Yes,
I've never known you, Rex, to be passionate about chess, so this is something new, right?
We are sitting here with the women's world chess champion.
I know that. That's rather humbling. Would you like to introduce her?
Grandmaster Zhu Wenju. It's my honor to introduce you. Welcome to KMOX.
How are you? Thanks for coming in.
I'm all right.
How are you doing? So Rex, tell me, I've been hearing the ads for the Cairns Cup, obviously, and the billboards, too.
Right.
But thankfully, he bought some money here. He bought some ads on KMOX. So this isn't the first year you're doing this, right?
This is the second year.
Okay, that's what I thought.
This is a name for my wife. That's her maiden name. And we have basically the 10 strongest females on the planet playing at the St. Louis Chess Club. And Zhu Wenju, of course, is the reigning women's world champion.
So you won last year, right? Get real close to that microphone if you can. She's very quiet. We got to get her close to the microphone.
I mean, this is my first time in the Cairns Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you're the reigning world champion.
Yeah, I just defending the world champion's title in January this year. And now I'm playing the strongest woman here. And yeah.
So you're the heavy favorite. Is that true?
She is favorite. She's the strongest person in the tournament. But they're all strong.
They're all strong.
Yeah, they're all strong.
Well, let's find out a little bit about you. You're from China?
Yeah, I'm from China.
And let me hear a little background here. Have you been in this country for a long time? Do you still live in China?
I still live in China, yes. And I'm there's a time in U.S.
When did you start playing chess?
Oh, I stopped playing chess at 7.
Okay, so this is this is one of my questions for you, and you can help me out with this because I was thinking about it because of my friend Rex. I have a 5-year-old little girl. We're trying to expose her to as many, and she's smart. Luckily, she doesn't get that from me because then she wouldn't be smart.
Are you the father?
We can't confirm it. I think so. It's a valid question, Rex. It really is. But I started thinking about it because I do want to expose her to things. How young is too young for chess?
I think five is okay. You could a person could start playing chess at five, couldn't they?
Yeah, five is totally fine.
Okay,
yeah.
And you have at the Chess Museum, don't you have programs along those lines?
We have hundreds of programs. We have chess lessons and lectures every day. There's probably more grandmasters in St. Louis, including Columbia, than there is in Moscow. Now, that's saying something.
And why is that? Is that because of you?
That's because partly, but not entirely. Webster College has a scholarship-based chess team. St. Louis University has the same. Lindenwood College has the same. And now the University of Missouri has the same. So there are four scholarship-based chess programs in the state of Missouri. That's more than any state in the union.
So explain a little bit how the tournament works. And we follow this because last year with the men's tournament, that was a lot of drama, as I remember.
It was a great drama. The women's tournament, I have to tell you, frankly, is more exciting because there are more decisive games. There are 10 players. It's a 9-round round robin. Each person plays each other once. And so it's not an elimination tournament. And then at the end of the tournament, the person who has the most points wins the tournament.
That's different than the men's tournament, right?
No, it's the same format.
Oh, it was the same.
Exactly the same format.
Okay. I didn't know that. So you're basically accumulating points.
Yes.
What was it that made, because even the final hours of that tournament last year were really dramatic, weren't they? Weren't we basically waiting until the last minute?
Yeah, I think there was a 3-way tie at that tournament.
And yeah, that's why it was probably not as clear.
Year before it was 3-way
okay,
tie.
Okay, year
sorry.
Before. So, and I want to make sure that I was introduced or was told Ju Wenjun, but how do I refer to you on the second?
Grandmaster.
Grandmaster. I'm just going to say Grandmaster. That's easy. What separates someone in the world of chess, and I'm rather ignorant on many things, but certainly the world of chess, what separates you from the rest of the field as a grandmaster? How do you get to that point? I mean, it's discipline. It's obviously practice. It's strategy. What separates you as a grandmaster?
I think the discipline and also hardworking and also I play hard and I have a good circumstances and a good coach and
How do you prepare for a match? There's mental aspects, right? Okay. Psychological warfare that goes on in chess, right?
Yeah, psychological also works. And also some body language is, and there's also something not about chess, also some energy and something. And I think most importantly is I have a good preparation before the match.
What does that include?
Well, that means I think maybe I prepared a lot and in opening and it works.
So
preparing openings is what preparation is all about.
So that's a strategy thing.
And yeah, there are thousands of opening lines and they've got to master all of them.
So how do you decide what to do then?
Well, you make a move and your opponent responds.
Yeah.
So now your options are cut off. You know, you're limited by the response and that's how the line develops. Each person limiting further and further the options that can be played.
Grandmaster, how long have you been here in St. Louis? Have you spent a lot of time in St. Louis?
Well, this is my second time in St. Louis, and I'm here about like 12 days, and I'm having a good experience in St. Louis.
I wish the weather was better. We've had maybe in that 12 days we've had warmer weather.
Yeah,
you're not going to enjoy the next couple of days, certainly with the weather. What are your impressions of St. Louis overall in Missouri?
Oh, I think here is it's a good place, and I'm very excited to play the Karen's Cup. And, I really like the chess atmosphere in here. It's really good.
Awesome. So where are some of the other competitors from? Are they all over the world or mainly U.S. players?
Seven
here?
Countries.
Oh, okay.
China, Russia, India, Ukraine,
Georgia.
United States, and two or three others.
Yeah. What is the purse for this?
$180,000.
Okay. That's nothing to sneeze at, right?
No, that's right. It's a good payday.
And so it all, Rex, tell me when it all starts. And didn't you have some coverage last year that people were able to sort of dial into? Do you have anything along those lines?
Yeah, we're broadcasting to the world. Our broadcast goes to over 200 countries around the world. It's on the internet. You can go to St. Louis Chess Champs .org, I believe, and you'll be directed to the live. We have the best broadcast of any sport in the world. Our broadcast team is the best. The quality of the production is unbelievable. And I had, for example, last year, Susan Sitherwood, CEO of Spire, came in, and she was standing there for 10 or 15 minutes watching the broadcast on the big screen. I didn't know she was there. And finally, somebody said, "Miss Sitherwood's here for you." So I went up to her and said, "Hello, Susan." She said, "You know, Rex, I've been watching this broadcast, and I am completely mesmerized. I can't pull away, and I don't even know how to play chess."
Well, that was, I guess, one of my questions. Can you, Grandmaster, I'll ask you, can someone who really does not know a lot about chess still take, because with most sporting events, you don't have to know everything, and you can still sense the level of competition and the gamesmanship, right?
Yeah, I think maybe for new starters, maybe just 10 minutes to know the rules, and then can start to play. And just find your friends. It's really easy.
Well, I'm going to get my daughter involved just because, like I said, I think it's important to expose her to many things. We were talking actually in the car. I was driving her to daycare this morning and talking about things that she wants to do. And her comment to me, I actually wrote this down and I sent it to her mom. She said, I don't want to misquote her. This is a good one, Rex. So hang on, bear with me. She said, let's see here. How come I can't find the stupid quote?
She didn't say that.
She did not say that. She said, basically, I'm already a good singer, so how can I learn anything from singing class? That was the quote. I'm like, all right, well, she had a lot of confidence, right? It was a better quote if I would have, here it is. See, quote, "I don't know if I can get into singing class because I'm already too good." That's confidence, isn't it?
That's confidence.
That is confidence. Well, I'll have you here, Rex. What are your impressions of the world of politics these days? Are you tracking what's happening with the Democrats and the primaries and the presidential race? Or is it all about chess right now?
Well, I'm very much into chess, but the Democratic thing is unbelievable. I think they're about to destroy the Democratic Party if they put in a strong leftist. Like Sanders.
Yeah,
well, they won't put Warren in. Sanders is certainly in the
run. But they're in panic mode right now. You've noticed that probably,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now Amy Klobuchar is being propped up, so who knows what's going to happen in the field. Well, thanks for coming in, Grandmaster. When does this all begin? And tell folks where they can find it again on the web.
They can go to stlouischessclub.org and just click on the live button, and it goes until the 16th.
And 16th of March.
16th of...
Oh, of this month.
Of this month,
I'm getting way ahead of myself. I thought, man, this is a month-long tournament, right?
Yeah.
We could have that next year.
2.5 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Rex Singfield. Grandmaster, thanks for coming in. Congratulations. Good luck. You better win, right? No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah. No pressure at all.
Thank you so much,
all right,
Mark.
Take care, guys.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
Get an update from Blues General Manager Doug Armstrong here in just a few minutes on the condition of Jay Bouwmeester after that scary thing that happened last night. And hopefully he's going to be okay. We're hearing good things on the recovery. We don't know exactly what happened or some of the details, but that's what Doug Armstrong will do in a few minutes. We'll bring it to you live. So we talked a little bit about what's happening post-New Hampshire and into the Nevada caucuses, and then we're in South Carolina in just a couple of weeks in Super Tuesday. There have been a couple of folks who have pulled out. Tulsi Gabbard's still hanging in there.
I am that candidate who will not only be able to beat Trump, but most importantly, I am that candidate committed to putting country first.
Okay, whatever. I'm not sure why she's still in there. Andrew Yang got out last night.
So I am the math guy, and it is clear tonight from the numbers that we are not going to win this race.
The writing was on the wall. Here's what's frustrating about Andrew Yang. You know, because I watched a fair amount of the debates and heard from these candidates. Andrew Yang was the goofy guy who was offering up $1,000 a month for everyone, and that was sort of silly. It was never going to go anywhere. But he was also the only guy that was talking about some things that were pretty important, like dealing with automation in this country and confronting some of the challenges in the labor force when it comes to automation. And I've talked about this in different terms over the last couple of years, even when you think about self-driving cars and the effect that that's going to have on convenience stores or Starbucks and all these things. So there are things that he was talking about, I think, that were legitimate. I think it was was, I think Scott Jennings actually sent out a nice tweet about Andrew Yang earlier, too. He said, Yang, the only guy having fun out there and the only Dem not running on, I will punish everyone you hate. Godspeed to clearly a good dude, the sort of person you actually want in politics. And listen to this. So here's some blowback. The guy tries to say something that really, I think to most of you, will make sense. But he got into trouble over it because it was about abortion. And, you know, this is what happens. If you're not all in on abortion, then you can't be a Democrat or you can't be someone who would be respected by the Democratic, I guess, constituency. So he actually said something about it being a tragedy, abortion being a tragedy, at this forum in New Hampshire before he got out. And if he didn't get out, he very well may have been forced out. So on Saturday, he's at this Our Rights, Our Courts forum in Concord, New Hampshire. It was, you know, sponsored by a bunch of left-wing groups and pro-abortion, NARAL, the Center for Reproductive Rights, NBC News, MSNBC, the Huffington Post co-hosted the event. So questions came up about abortion and the right to abortion. So Yang said this, and he was specifically asked about late-term abortions and how he would be sensitive to people who did not support them. And as reported today, he answered the question, but you could have heard a pin drop. I think we have to get back to the point where no one is suggesting that we be celebrating an abortion at any point during in the pregnancy. There was a time in Democratic circles, he's right about this, by the way, we used to talk about it being something that you don't like to see, but that should be within the freedoms of the woman and the mother to decide. But it's a tragedy to me, he said, if someone decides that they don't want to have a child and they're on the fence, and then maybe at some point later, it's a very, very difficult personal decision, and it's something that we should be very, very sensitive to. I think that celebrating children, family like these are universal human values, and if we manage to lead on that and say that we also stand for a woman's reproductive rights, I believe we can bring Americans closer together on a really, really important personal issue. That sounded like it made sense, didn't it? What I just read you didn't sound too outrageous, didn't sound too out there, sort of a middle-of-the-road position on abortion, admitting that, look, these are tough issues that some people have to deal with, but look, why are we at this point, certainly in his party, talking about, to a certain extent, celebrating abortion? You don't believe me? Well, look at the reaction. You have people out there that are just livid. Here's Kaz Wida. Looks like Yang is having some trouble grasping some fundamentals about a woman's right to choose, including the fact that, quote, celebrating abortion is a pro-life extremist talking point. No one celebrates abortion, dude. Leave this to the people with wombs. I would challenge that, and I think Andrew Yang would, too. Cool. So in summary, says Matthew Chapman, Yang is fine with safe and legal abortions as long as women feel judged and ashamed while getting them. Glad we've cleared that up. So this is the response that he gets from the lefties out there. And, you know, one thing that maybe this is a lesson learned for the other Democratic candidates, Bernie Sanders, who won the New Hampshire primary, said that being pro-abortion was essential to being a Democrat. It's 3:30 at KMOX. We'll get to the news here this afternoon. Then hopefully in just a couple of minutes, Doug Armstrong on the Jay Boatmeister situation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We weren't sure when Doug Armstrong was going to start, but he's on right now.
We would like to thank Ray Borelli and his staff, plus the Ducks medical staff, including both the trainers and physicians, for their quick response. There is never a good time for something like this to take place, but there could not have been a better location than the Honda Center. Thanks again to everyone involved at the Honda Center and the Ducks organization for their life-saving efforts. At 12:10 of the first period, Jay suffered a cardiac episode on our players' bench. Jay became unresponsive, and the medical personnel used a defibrillator to revive him. Jay regained consciousness immediately and was transported directly to the UCI Irving Medical Center. I would like to acknowledge the NHL and the Ducks for their efforts during this chaotic situation. With the guidance of Gary Bettman and Colin Campbell, Anaheim GM Bob Murray and I moved quickly to postpone the game and turn all the NHL's focus towards Jay. The Blues will play in Las Vegas tomorrow night. With that being said, we're asking the media to respect the players and not reach out to any one of our players or our staff directly. After the morning skate tomorrow, our assistant captain and captains and head coach will be available to talk about hockey questions and hockey questions only. In an attempt to regain some form of normalcy in this hectic situation, we appreciate and thank your cooperation in advance. Finally, to Jay, Devin, and the girls. The Blues organization and the entire hockey world are with you and looking forward to your speedy recovery. At this time, Annie West will answer any questions that you may have.
When something like that happens, I mean, how shocking is the right word, but it's got a really sharp moment.
Yeah, it does. I was at home. I had just got back from Europe from a scouting trip, so I was watching the game. And really what happened, Jimmy, is your first response is to what you have to do, who you have to contact, the proper people. I reached out to Devin immediately. Fortunately, she wasn't watching the game, so I was able to explain to her what was happening, made her as comfortable as possible that he was getting the best medical care. Our father's trip was going on, as some of you may know, so having Jay's father there was obviously difficult for Dan, but very good, I think, for Devin to be able to have someone to talk to. And then you just sort of go through the process. You talk to the appropriate people. I was able to contact Craig and talk to him. His leadership was outstanding right from the get-go, making sure everything was organized and the right things were being done. And then when you get to 12:30 or 1 at night, it sort of sinks in on what happened, and you become more of a father or a friend at that point.
I see some stuff on social media, but I wanted to ask you, have the players had some contact with Jay?
Yeah, I'll let Alex speak to that.
Yeah, last night after the game, I went over there. Me and my dad went over there to see Dan and Jay with Ray. I think it was an important one for me just to see him and for everybody else to see him. So we FaceTime. Bo had his opportunity to kind of see everybody. Everybody sent him their wishes. And I think, I mean, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I'm sure made everybody feel a lot better knowing he was in good hands. And he was in good spirits last night with us and typical Jay, so I think it certainly made us all feel a lot better today knowing that we had the opportunity to talk to him.
Alex. Typical Jay is a good Jay. Right?
Typical Jay is a very good Jay, yeah.
Alex, when it happened, you saw fear wash over the bench and yourself, and everybody acted swiftly, but just how stunning was it?
It's hard to even explain. I mean, happened so fast. I mean, felt like it was an eternity for us, but I mean, we just really reacted as fast as we could. Everybody seemed like they wanted to help and do something. But once we handed over to Ray and the doctors and the EMT, I mean, they were impressive to see, you know, them go into action, what they were doing. But it's not as easy to see anybody go through it, but let alone your close friend and teammate that you spend every day with. But, you know, we're a tight group in our locker room. If you've been around us, you know how close we are. So certainly we're lucky to have each other anytime you're going through something like this.
Alex, Williams with the Associated Press. You saw it on the videos, the team coming together, but can you speak to Anaheim and how quickly they seem to have a lot of concern and they skated over just maybe any of the things they may have shared, any of the players?
They wanted to see us after the game too. I mean, hockey gets pushed aside really quickly when you're talking about something like this. And, you know, you play against each other and you battle and against these guys, but we all have enough respect for each other, and a lot of those guys have played with Bo or been around Bo. A lot of them are friends, and I know Getzlaff, obviously, I play with him. He knows Bo a lot just from playing over the years in international tournaments. He reached out right away, and the hockey community, like Doug said, I mean, when something like this happens, a lot of people start reaching out. It's just how the hockey community is. It's a really tight group of people.
We obviously see teammates over the years, you know, experience injuries and you have to come back and play. But something like this, how do you sort of turn around and be able to get your mindset on tomorrow's game?
Well, it's obviously going to be difficult. I mean, but again, we talked to Jay and he's in good spirits. And when you see how he's doing, it certainly makes us feel a lot better and lets us come here. You know, we stayed last night. We didn't feel comfortable leaving without knowing how he was doing. But knowing, one, that he has his dad there, two, that, you know, Devin's at home, and, you know, our wives, you know, are all reaching out. You know, I know Steiner's wife went by, you know, last night. I mean, it's just how our group is, and we're taking care of each other. And like I said, when J-Bo is being J-Bo, I think it makes feel, you know, everybody feel a lot better.
It was the toughest part, just the wait last night and not knowing, you know, for seemed like forever.
Yeah, I don't know how long everything happened between, by the time I went to go get the EMT guys and came back, it felt like it was forever, but I'm sure it didn't happen like that. But it's pretty impressive when you see the response, not only from our teammates, but everybody. I mean, a lot of people did an unbelievable job, and no, you don't want to see that stuff, but it's pretty impressive how selfless people become in those situations.
Tony, I wanted to ask you, maybe just I know this obviously is in the forefront, but you got any indication about what will happen with this game, and, you know, will be rescheduled?
Yeah, I've been in contact with the NHL. Obviously, with the condensed schedule of all the teams from now to the end of the year, it's difficult to find. They may have to move a couple of games for us or for Anaheim to try and make it work. But as you said, that's secondary to where we're at now. I know they're working on that, and we will play the game. The last two times they've had to stop a game midway, our score was 1-1, so we'll start at 1-1, but we'll play the full game 60 minutes. That's my understanding of what has happened in the past.
So the score will be 1-1 when you start?
Yes, that's my understanding. 1-1, 0-0, it's still tied, I guess, but it'll be 1-1 with 60 minutes to play.
So Barbashev gets the goal.
They get their helpers.
Jay is, when you see something like this, there's no explanation, but he's like one of your fittest guys. I mean, he hikes, he does those mountain biking, and right his knee. And hockey players are in great shape. So.
Yeah, I would say our worst conditioned athlete is a great athlete. And Jay is at the top of his profession as far as training and taking care of himself. So it crystallizes how quickly things can change. And again, to Ray Borelli and the Ducks staff, how quickly they got on there to revive Jay, to get him back, is a testament to the work that is done, and a testament to the NHLPA and the NHL for making sure that teams do all the proper work behind the scenes to have the people in the right spots that are there to help the guys if anything happens.
As a manager, how helpless or fast is everything when it happens and you've got to react and make decisions that are, you know, paramount to the player's health and the team's well-being? I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I would say, when you first see it happen, your natural instincts to go to work jump in, and you first of all, the first call was to Devin to make sure she was comfortable. Then you're working to make sure that Jay is getting the best help possible. Then you want to make sure the team is getting the proper information that they can get. I was very fortunate that Jim Neal, who went through this situation in Dallas with Rich Beverly, he and I talked last night. I was able to talk to George McPhee, and he was able to arrange some support counselors for us to hear from today when we got in, so we have an understanding of what to expect moving forward. So the NHL community comes together very quickly in something like this, and it makes us, I think, speaking for myself, but hopefully the coaches, players, and trainers, that we are part of a very special fraternity.
All right, that's Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the Blues. Good news on Jay Bouwmeester, but they did have to, use the paddles on him to help him recover, which is, I think, what people were wondering about. He's in much better condition. I do think it's interesting that, you know, he said, if you were listening, his wife was not watching the game, probably a good thing, but his father was there because it was the dad's weekend trip. You also heard the captain, Alex Petrangelo, and we'll continue to get updates throughout the afternoon. And if anything happens, they're still chatting. That's relevant. We'll certainly pass that along in the next hour. Chris Raby's going to join us at 4:15 from Jupiter, Florida.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. The University of Virginia just last Thursday opened the brand new multicultural student center on its campus, and a bunch of people were flooding in there. They had chicken sweets, lemonade. Everyone was excited. Then people, you know, students started using the multicultural student center, and then there was a black student who got up and said this.
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
Yeah, there are very few spaces for black students at the University of Virginia. And how multicultural of her to single out white students. Not fake news, ladies and gentlemen. That was real.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.